I can't believe we're on season two. We're already on 13 episodes, season two, episode one of the Mystic Bitch Show. Holy fuck. I have amazing things coming because I am on a roll with this. The momentum is going and like I'm not going to stop anytime in the near future. So we're just going to keep growing this community and we're going to keep growing ourselves and connecting more and more deeply as a community. We go fast, we go furious, and we love hard, and we have a lot of fun. What are we doing today? We're talking about spiritual shit. We're doing readings. We're doing psychic development Q&A. I'm currently in Northern California. So hi, welcome. If you're new here, my name is Ingrid H. Turner. I am a psychic development teacher. I'm a psychic medium, and I am a mystic and a poet. I'm here to work with a very specific type of person. I'm here to work with strange, weird, wonderful misfits, creatives, intuitives, the people who never quite felt like they fit in. You never quite found your community where you slipped into place with the rest of society. That's because you're here to blaze a new fucking trail. And I am here to support you in blazing that trail. One of the many ways I do that is by showing up here every week with the Mystic Bitch Show podcast recording and getting to interact with you while we chat, while I teach, while I answer questions to help you step into your highest expression, to find your stage, to deliver your message with as big an audience as you can handle. Welcome. And I am really glad that you are here. I have been, over this last year, really contemplating the concept of like selfless service. You know, I hear people say things, especially people in the spiritual world, people who are self-reported healers or teachers, they say, I'm just here to be of service. All I want to do is help people. And I've said that too. That has come out of my mouth. I'm just here to be of service. I just want to help people. And in my contemplation, as I hear this recently, and I hear it come from myself even, honestly, it smacks of bullshit. Not malevolent bullshit. More like confused bullshit. And it seems particularly inauthentic when we make helping other people and being of service to other people our entire identity. Now, don't go anywhere. Let me explain. I'm a believer in being of service. I think it's really important. I think it's everything. But like everything, it's not about the giving and the helping. It's about the energy behind the giving and the helping. Like the word fuck. The word fuck takes on whole new meanings depending on the energy you put behind the word fuck. I think the same is true with our giving, with our service, with our identity, right? What we're putting out into the world. I think so often that we can get caught in this net. I think this is especially true for very sensitive people, people who never really fit in, right? Especially sensitive people who never really fit in, who feel real driven to be of service. But underneath that drive, it's more about being of service to get, right? You're getting something from being of service. Because when we're sensitive and we're creative and we're empathic people, we can really feel the emotions of other people. And we feel them like they are ours. Now, if you've ever been in a room, if you're somebody who has a hard time in crowds, somebody's crying next to you, you start crying as well. It's not just that you have compassion for another person. It's that you feel what the other person is going through. And so when somebody is upset or sad or grieving, we're going through all of that pain and being sad and grieving. And when somebody else is feeling good and feeling joy, we get to experience that with them. The upliftment, the joy, the happiness, and the high. And I think that sensitive folk who have this kind of empathic gift, I think we can get really lost in the malaise of other people's experiences. And we can end up hunting for that better feeling inside of ourselves by trying to make it so in somebody else. And then we get wrapped up in this identity around, I'm here to be of service. I'm here to make people feel good because we want to feel good. Right? But that's, and again, I don't think this is malevolent most of the time. I think there are people out there who are very calculating in their giving, but that's not who I'm talking to. Okay. The people I'm talking to you who get caught in this net of overgiving, of overextending, of being of service, saying, I'm here to be of service. How can I be of service? How can I help you? How can I fix you? How can I make you better? Right? How can I make you better? And the energy behind it, subtly, unconsciously, is coming from this place of needing to feel better, needing to fill your own cup. But that's because you're leeching off of the experience of another person. And I count myself in this as well. Part of this contemplation is reflecting on my own experiences, reflecting on the last 9 or 10 years that I've been in this work. You know, even Mother Teresa said, I don't know who I would be without the poor of Calcutta. Whoa. I don't know who I'd be without the poor of Calcutta. Let's feel into this room. Let's take a deep breath. Again, I don't think it's malevolent. I think it's unconscious. I think it's confused. And I think it's lost. And I also think there's a conditioned element that goes into this need to be seen as selfless. Selfishness, especially in women, is very much frowned upon in our culture. I think all of us have been on the receiving end of harsh words and censure for our own displays of selfishness, like early on, right? And I think this results in being an absolute roller coaster for people whose identity is wrapped up in helping others and being of service, because the moment they can't make someone feel good, and you never can sustainably make somebody else feel good or help somebody else feel good, that is always an inside job. Always, always, always an inside job. There's the high that you get when you help someone else feel better, when you get them over the hump, when you emotionally bolster them and they're feeling great and they're turning around saying thank you and you're feeding off their good feelings. And there's the crash that comes when somebody inevitably doesn't maintain that high and you're going up and down with them instead of managing, dealing with, paying attention to, prioritizing your own well-being, your own happiness, your own balance, right? Your own happiness. The need for this validation, right? Dressed up in selflessness, you know what it comes from? It comes from a deep, almost unfathomable fear of rejection. That fear is so big and so scary because it harkens back to prehistory times. We're a very tribal animal, right? We're a herd animal. And there was a time in our human history where if you were outcasted from the herd, from the tribe, that was a matter of life and death. And so we had to contort ourselves and make ourselves small and sacrifice our own needs and well-being in order to fit in with the herd, to fit in with the tribe. But that's not the truth anymore. That's not where we're at anymore. Now, we're moving into a time where the individual expression is responsible for expanding the collective consciousness. The new earth is brought in on the backs of the individual. Right? So that means that it is up to you to transcend your fear of rejection, which is ultimately your fear of death. That's what it boils down to. Your fear of rejection is a fear of death. That is on par with the fear that we have of dying, of snuffing out. You got to stand in that fear of death and step into your highest expression, which is by honoring what matters to you. Instead of doing what is safe, which is putting yourself in a box and prostrating yourself at the altar of selflessness. And again, that I'm not saying we shouldn't help other people or be of service, but I want to turn it around for you. Okay, I want to turn it around. This last year has been a really intense year of contemplation around being of service. About a year ago, I took 90% of my belongings and I shoved them off the back of my friend's pickup truck. And I hit the road in my converted Scion. I converted it into a micro camper without a plan, on a prayer, little bit of money. The other thing I did that was really scary is I stopped doing spiritual work. I had been doing spiritual work nonstop, being of service to others, teaching, readings, healings, sessions, groups, trainings, all of that. Bam, bam, bam. I stopped doing it because I burned the fuck out. I didn't quite know why, but it felt like there was a hole ripped in my aura. And it just wasn't sustainable. I couldn't keep going. So I knew that God and spirit and spiritual work was still deeply important to me and rooted in my being, but I was burned out and I couldn't keep doing the work in the way that I had been doing the work. So I took off and I faced my fear of aloneness, of rejection, and death. And I started focusing on what matters to me. And it was scary because the safe thing to do was to keep all of my structures in place that were guaranteeing me a place, an identity, an income, right? All of those things. And I let them go. And when I came through the other side, almost a year, it took me almost a year, probably 9 months to decompress, right? To let it all go. And when I came back, when I came out the other side, I understood what mattered to me because, and how to be of service through what matters to me. That's what you're experiencing in me now. See, I did amazing work with the people and the ways that I did it and the structures that I had before with the groups and the one-on-ones. I have a lot of very happy former students, right? And clients that I've worked with, but my boundaries were sloppy. I was operating under fear and conditioning, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of ousting, fear of death, fear of being seen as, you know, bad or wrong. And because I was operating at a fraction of my potential. So when I came out the other side, when I came back around to spiritual work, I can be of service, but I'm no longer focused on how can I help you? How can I fix you? How can I make you feel better? Because unconsciously, I was looking for feed me, feed me, feed me. Make me feel better by you feeling better. Make me feel better by you feeling better. Tell me I'm good. Tell me I'm okay. Show me I'm okay. Validate my existence. And now I am of service through the vehicle of my passion. My passion is podcasting, teaching, performing. I fucking love this shit. And you know what? This doesn't drain me because I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it because it matters to me. And because it matters to me, it is my passion. That is how I open up to God consciousness and how spirit flows through me and pours into you. Without me crawling away from this, exhausted, depleted, feeling like I have a gaping hole in my aura. What matters to me is writing and poetry. It's exploring. It's getting out in the world. It's experiencing life and getting inspired and turning around and bringing it back to you to share it compulsively because I love it. And as a result, there's no more depletion happening. So I want you to consider, my love, I want you to consider, where are you leaky? Where are you hanging on to an identity of being of service, of giving, whether it's in your personal life or your professional life or a business? Your heart is open, but I want you to consider, what is it that truly matters to me? What is it that really matters to me? And spend some time there, because when you allow yourself to turn around, turn away from the fear and into the heart, and focus on what matters to you, you cannot help but show up and be of divine service through the vehicle of your passion in a way that is energizing, in a way that is magnificent, with a potency that is beyond your wildest dreams. because the people you're meant to reach will flock to you. And it won't even matter very much because you'll be having so much damn fun swimming in your passion, feeling energized, feeling amazing. This is what I want for you. And the first step is recognizing the knee-jerk response to your fear. These coping mechanisms, the survival coping mechanism that you are responding to, and breathing through it. Where are you depleted? This is what's going to show you the area of your life where you are operating on fear. Where are you depleted? Are you depleted in your work, in your family, in your relationships, in your... Where are you depleted, honey? Wherever you're depleted, fear is leading. You don't have to know what fear it is. Just know that it's there. Where you feel energized and alive, excited, nervous even, that's where your heart is leading. That's what's pulling you towards your passion. Ultimately, if you have the courage to follow your passion, your creative expression, your spiritual path, that is how you give back. That is how you become a healer, a teacher, all of it. It's both with you. Okay, so fine-tuning. And I resonate with that, that it's both exhausting and it is a heart-led. That's very much what I felt in the way that I had formatted my spiritual work before I had to break away. But the depletion began to outweigh the heart, began to outweigh the excitement, and I had to readjust. And for me, it was as simple as adjusting the way that I deliver, the way that I deliver spirit and my creative energy, my creative output. And it took a little time, but I knew what it was when I allowed myself to admit that that wasn't working, and this is how I really wanted to do it. And it's like so much better. It's like so much better. I want to get you trusting yourself. I want to get you trusting yourself so completely that you can turn towards what you love. That you can turn towards your creative self-expression without being hamstrung by fear, pulled back, held down by fear. Here's the thing about fear. You know, fear is pretty outdated. There's two types of fear. There's dread. There's a heavy, oh shit, feeling. I don't want to move. That is your intuition saying, stop, don't go anywhere. But the other kind of fear, which is more common, is this frenetic, anxious fear like stage fright. And what that is a symptom of expansion, of frequency expansion, just a physical symptom of your energy changing and leveling up. It's the story we overlay on it that keeps us stuck. Okay, we have a question here. What do you know about indigo children? Do you mean indigo children? Okay, let me feel into that. What do I know about indigo children? I feel that humans tend to put a lot into labels. They tend to put a lot into sort of compartmentalizing, putting things in piles. I believe that every generation is being born into an expanded frequency. And that is a direct result of the work that the generation has done before them. That's what it feels like to me. I feel like when we put, you know, children and anything into like piles and labels and sort and sift, we're in the mind. Okay, we're in the mind, and the mind loves to make it small and digestible. And there's a time and a place for that. But it also, sometimes we just need to feel. We need to feel the truth of something and not worry so much about labels. Indigo children are an indication, they're an expansion of frequency. And because every generation, the human race is expanding and expanding and expanding and expanding. How do I reopen communication with my spirit guide? One of the things that is challenging about kind of going back to the labels and the boxes discussion, when we start thinking about our spirit guide, we can get really locked down about like, ooh, where's my spirit guide? What's my spirit guide's name? What does he or she look like? You know, how do I talk to them? And your spirit guide is going to show up through the path of least resistance in the easiest way your spirit guide can show up for you. When that happens, be open to how that happens. So sometimes we connect with our spirit guide. If we're clairvoyant, we'll visually see our spirit guide in our mind's eye. Maybe we'll have a conversation. Maybe it'll show up differently. Maybe it'll show up as a feeling. Maybe it'll show up as signs and synchronicities, as seeing, you know, a special number sequence or something like that. Open yourself up and ask your spirit guide to connect with you in a way that is obvious, and then take the rest of the parameters off. You're going to feel it when you get a message from your spirit guide. You're going to feel it in your heart. It doesn't have to be seeing it. It doesn't have to be hearing a voice. It can be something in your physical environment too, because maybe that's what you need right now. And as you connect with your spirit guide in the way that is easiest right now, you will trust that more and more and more. And as your faith deepens, you will be able to, your spirit guide will be able to reach you in all kinds of different ways. So stay open to how your spirit guide can connect with you, darling. Next question. I think my aura is periwinkle. How do I know for sure? Your aura changes colors. Your aura shifts and changes colors depending on what's going on with your frequency. You can also, and you can just trust that if you saw periwinkle, you can trust that. Now, what does that color mean to you? That's going to tell you what your frequency you're at in your aura. Okay, so if your aura is more of like the deep reddish orange colors, then you're in more of the sacral and the root chakra energy, maybe the power center chakra energy. There's nothing wrong with that. It just means that you're more in the world, you're more rooted in, or you might be having some experiences or some fears come up around your safety and security and things like that, right? As it moves up in color, periwinkle, I think that's more of a purple color, right? I honestly don't know exactly what periwinkle is, but that's more of the higher chakra. And it's just going to shift and change depending on where we are at in our frequency. And there's always going to be times when we're sort of in a denser frequency, if you will, not necessarily a low vibration, but when we're in the human experience, you know, maybe we're taking care of our family, or we're like at work, or we just, you know, we're hungry, you know, we're horny or something. And then it's going to be more of like a denser physical frequency. Whereas when we're in a more enlightened, heart opening spiritual place, we're feeling more connected to spirit, we're feeling more alive and creative, then you will notice that the energy is more up in your higher chakras. And so the color of your aura will change. And again, everybody sees and perceives this differently. I remember having a lot of conversations with a teacher of mine about seeing auras, because I was so stuck that I couldn't see somebody's aura when I looked at them. And he explained to me, he said, listen, people see it differently. Everybody sees it differently. One student he had would hear tones. He wouldn't even see the aura. So trust that your impression is correct. I found for me, typically I will look at somebody and I will get a snapshot of their aura in my mind's eye, and that's it. I usually just don't see it around them, but I see it very clairvoyantly. So you can trust that. Know that it changes. And what's most important is to pay attention to how you feel. The better you feel, the higher you are vibrating. The better you feel, the more expanded your frequency. I have been doing this incredible practice in the morning where when I set my intention for the day, I don't start with, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to accomplish. I start with, my intention is to feel good. It raises my vibration, it slows me down, and it helps me accomplish everything that I need to accomplish in the day. Just as a quick aside there. Thank you so much for your question, sweetheart. I hope that that is helpful. Can a spirit guide also be a shadow? You can see shadows as you start to be able to perceive your spirit guide with your eye or in your mind's eye. Here's the thing you need to know about your spirit guide. It's more important about what it feels like versus what it looks like. You will know unequivocally if it's your spirit guide because your heart will open. You will feel the love. You will feel the admiration. You will feel the cherishing from your spirit guide. If you feel anything other than that, it is not your spirit guide. Doesn't mean it's evil. It means it's not your spirit guide. See numbers. I have vivid dreams, but I don't know what to do with it. Okay, so numbers are an indication of your frequency. Right? If you're seeing numbers, first, there's messages in the numbers. Okay, in numerology, One is powerful new beginnings, initiative, and leadership. Two is relationship. Three is creativity and communication. Four is foundation, right? You have got a solid foundation. Five is change. Six is self-love and sort of love of your community. Seven is turning inward and going into your spiritual pursuits. Eight is money, manifestation, and abundance. And nine is culmination, like completion, right? So if you're, the numbers that you're seeing have a language unto themselves, and that was a really quick run through, but reading up on numerology will help you decipher that. More importantly, though, when you're seeing repeating numbers and they are meaningful to you, that's a solid indication that you are vibrating at the top of your frequency, at the top of the frequency that is available to you. Now, you are a universe, okay? The universe is always expanding, and you are a universe within a universe, and you are always expanding. So a frequency that is available to you is constantly expanding. As soon as you hit the pinnacle of your frequency, boom, the opportunity, the potential pushes out further, and then you have the opportunity to expand even further out and expand your frequency even more. So those numbers are an indication that you're hitting the top of your frequency. You're kind of on a flying high. Everything's good. Things are coming into fruition. Things that you want are manifesting because your frequency is rocking. It's not about attraction. It's about vibration. Prioritize your vibration. Everything else works out from there. It's very, very simple, my loves. Manifestation is very simple. Intention is very simple. Prioritize your vibration. That is where it all goes. Vivid dreams, my love. Vivid dreams are generally a sign of clairvoyance. Clairvoyance is clear seeing. It's when your imagination spits up images, psychic information through images, through imagery. All right. If you guys want to develop your psychic gifts, go to my Stand store, download the Psychic Development Starter Bundle. In that bundle, I lay the groundwork for you to identify your psychic gifts and then start to develop those psychic gifts and use them in your everyday life. I took 10 years and teaching dozens of students and truncated it into a digital bundle for you for $8. It's in my Stand store. Go get it. You will not regret it. I hear my name whispered in my ear at night. So this is a sign of clairaudience. Clairaudience is clear hearing. Clear hearing is when we hear spirit. Now, when our mind levels are down and we're not so busy in our head and we're able to just, you know, kind of come to that more calm state, we're more likely to hear voices. It sounds like a disembodied voice. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. It just means you're open. Okay. It's also mediumship. You're hearing spirits clairaudiently. Okay. If you're not, it doesn't mean it goes away during the day. It means it morphs when you're, you know, doing other things. It can be a foreign voice in your head. It can be a snippet of a song looping in your brain to give you a message. Slow yourself down and like pay attention to your thoughts. Thoughts that originate from us tend to be kind of bitchy and critical because that's our ego. And the ego is always scanning for problems. It's just a piece of who we are. But spirit thoughts, clairaudient thoughts will be kind, benevolent, directive, you-focused, right? That's how you're going to be able to tell the difference. When others are feeling feelings, I feel that. How can I stop that or at the least control it? Great question. You're an empath. You're clairsentient, which means you are feeling, absorbing the emotions of other people. You're going to want to put up protections. I have something I call the energetic wetsuit. It's included in the bundle, in the psychic development bundle that I mentioned earlier. I got a whole bunch of meditations and energy work included in that bundle as well to help you with your protections and to help you with energetic clearing, especially for my empathic babes. And I'm very empathic, so we tend to glom together. So I know a lot of people who connect with me are going to resonate with being empaths as well. But in a nutshell, what you do is you envision an egg-shaped orb above your head and you give it a color. And you can just do it with me. Tell me what color your orb is. It doesn't matter. Just whatever first comes to you. And allow that egg-shaped orb to drop and crack and become a liquid. And let that liquid move all the way down your body. Right? Covering you in this glorious energy, liquid energy. Mine today was gold. I love it. I'll take it. Now, what this does, this is what I call an energetic wetsuit. And here's why I like this for my beautiful empaths. Because your sensitivity is your superpower. You don't want to cut off that energy, those emotions, those feelings that you're picking up. You will not like it. You think it's hard feeling it all? Try not feeling it. In fact, if you're ever with somebody who you don't feel that from, they're probably a sociopath. It's very, very weird to be around people who you don't pick up on their stuff. So put on this energetic wetsuit, and like a wetsuit going into the ocean, you will get in the water, you will feel the water, but you won't get cold. With the energetic wetsuit on, you will feel the energy, but you won't absorb it. Put that on at the beginning of the day. That's going to be super, super helpful. And for more of those kind of tools and clearing tools, go get my Psychic Development Starter Bundle in my Stand store. It's $8, folks, and I continue to add new material to it, and I will give that new material to you free of charge after you already bought the bundle. So you get to benefit from the continued expansion and learning and developing and the more that I have to share with you through that bundle. So go get it. It's in my Stand store. I want to tune into my clairvoyance, but how? I feel like I have all the things, but I don't know what to do. So it's so tricky developing your psychic gifts, because immediately what we do is go into our head and be like, I really want to. I want to focus on it. I want to be clairvoyant. I want to be a medium. And you feel all the energy move into your head. When you go, I want to do this. I don't know how. All the energy rushes into your head. Okay, you've got to be able to get the energy out of your head and allow yourself to open up and be open to however it comes to you. If you're hyper-focused on being clairvoyant because that's what you want to experience, you're going to block off all your intuitive senses. It may be that for you, it's easier for spirit to get to you a different way, maybe with clairsentience or claircognizance, but you're so focused on clairvoyance that you're not paying attention to the ways the spirit can get to you. So here's a little exercise for you to help you get out of your head and all that balled up energy in your head. Take the energy in your head, and I want you to pull it down to your throat. And then once there, pull it down to your heart. And once in your heart, pull it down to your power center. Go all the way down through your chakras until you get to the root. And then take a deep breath. So in my Psychic Development Starter Bundle, the way that I teach this is not to give you specific, here's how you become clairvoyant. It's to show you where you are naturally psychic and help you trust and develop that low-hanging fruit. And when you do that, all your other gifts will naturally start to improve. You will naturally start to get more and more of that. Go get my Psychic Development Starter Bundle. $8, folks. Your spirit guide can be for others too, right? Interesting question. Okay, let me tell you about what I think a spirit guide is, what I feel it. Spirit guide is like the user-friendly interface with the divine. Like when you and I are perceiving each other through this interface, we are not seeing all the shit that goes behind in the internet. We couldn't grok it. We would just be like, nope, we'd walk away. We couldn't handle it. Same thing when we're tapping into God consciousness. You and I are here having a human experience. Our consciousness is concentrated to this ecstatic point in creation. And so a spirit guide is that user-friendly interface so that we can connect with all that is, with all of source energy, that in our current incarnation, in this physical experience, we are having the experience of separation from. We are not able to comprehend it. So your spirit guide will come to you in the form that is easiest for you to connect with. So in a sense, yes, it's for others, but it's also deeply, completely for you. And it is how you connect with God consciousness, whether that is your own spirit guide, a spirit animal, ascended master, angel, Jesus Christ. It's going to come through in the way that you can connect with it. What are your strongest gifts? Great question. I will be happy to tell you. I am primarily clairvoyant and empathic. Those are my big ones. I see a lot and I feel a lot. So when I'm doing a reading for somebody, the first place I go to is my heart. The first place I go to is my body. What am I feeling in my body? What emotions are coming up for me? And then I start to get images associated with that feeling. Typically, that's how it works for me. As I'm really in the zone and I'm really trusting my empath abilities and my clairvoyance, then I will start to hear things and I'll have claircognizance come up too, where I'll start to know shit and I'll just be able to spit it out. And I also will smell things and taste things. Those are two secondary psychic senses, psychic smell and psychic taste. Those don't show up for me as often. But when I am in the zone, when I am really trusting my clairsentience and my clairvoyance, then all of my psychic gifts expand and my readings become really, really potent. Thank you for asking. Yes, your bundle helped me a lot. Wonderful feedback. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that. And there's more to come. I've actually got something in the works for that bundle that I'm going to be sending out probably February 1st. I'm going to be adding to that bundle. So get it, my loves. Get it. Okay. Looks like that's pretty much it for questions about psychic development and spirituality. Wonderful. Okay, my loves, signing off. Thank you so much for being here. I hope to see you next week, okay? Go get the Psychic Development Starter Bundle. Go get the Fearful to Masterful Guide. This shit's cheap because it's accessible because you need it. So go get it. I love you. Thank you for everything.